Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
College years, they're often described as a fun and carefree period because young adults are enjoying their newfound freedom before any of the really big responsibilities of life kick in. But intense exam cycles, heavy workloads, greater financial pressures, they're really changing the face now of the higher education experience, and college campuses here and internationally are reporting higher instances of mental health concerns among their students, with the academic pressures often the catalyst. Well, Dr. Harry Barry and Dr. Anne-Marie Craven are here now to talk about this with us and give us a bit of an insight into this really tricky period of transition between childhood and adulthood. And Anne-Marie, I suppose that's what this is essentially, and that's maybe where all of the problems begin. It is a huge transition for a young person, isn't it?
It is. It's a huge transition for a young person, and young people make up most of the college cohort. And of course, it's a huge transition for our mature students as well, and for any of the other cohorts who don't fall into that emerging adult category. But for most of the students, they are around the 18 or 19 mark, right? And it's a big transition. And it's also a time where, even if they're not making this transition, it's a time where young people are just a bit more vulnerable to mental health issues than our older adults, for example.
Yeah,
so when you combine those things, your developmental stage and the transition, it's no surprise that we can see relatively high levels of mental health issues.
And the developmental stage is really important to note as well, isn't it, Harry? Because you're under the age of 25, and we all know what happens to our brain at 25.
Yes.
Or we should do.
Well, the reality is that we have an actual period that we actually call the adolescent brain, and that period is between the ages of 13 and 25. So I'm sorry to say to parents out there, you may think it's all over at 18, but unfortunately it's 25 when our brain really starts to mature. And we develop that kind of little bit of insight and little bit of maturity that we're able to cope with life. But it's very interesting that 75% of cases of mental illness will begin before the age of 25. And there's some critical... I remember doing some research on this for self-acceptance way back in 2019. And even then, I was trying to send a warning out to everybody. Look, what's coming down the track here is disastrous. And let's take a survey from America in 2021-22, which is very, very recent, of 90,000 kids. You know what I mean? That's a lot of students. And they were concerned that 44% of students reported depressive symptoms, 37% reported feelings of anxiety, and really scary, 15% had suicide ideation. That's an enormous number of people. And, you know, in case we think in Ireland we're doing well, back in 2019, that's even a few years ago, and things have got worse since then, there was 127% increase in students applying for mental health disability, with a lot of these kind of showing evidence of severe and very severe depression, about 28% responding with severe anxiety. There was an increase in self-harm, suicide attempts. Even USIT themselves, the students' union themselves, came out saying that there was extremely high levels of anxiety, depression and stress. So this was a kind of a tsunami coming our way, and we have just put our head in the sand and we haven't really faced it.
Bearing all of that in mind, we have to also say there are people who will go to college and have a wonderful time and have a very enriched life.
Absolutely.
As a result, and we don't want to frighten anybody, and it's important probably to say that. But Anne-Marie, you're on the front line of this as somebody who works in a third level institution. Do you agree that things have changed, and what do you think might be at the root of this?
Yeah, so I do think things have changed. I mean, I should say, first of all, that many students do quite well at university. They adapt to the transition, they form friendships, they progress through their programmes, and they will experience stress from time to time, like during exam time, but they cope well with that as well. I do feel things have changed a little bit, and some of that is post-COVID, I think. Unfortunately, I think we did miss out on some socialisation there and some life experiences that are important for people. But I think our environmental stressors for young people are not helping. So we have a cost of living crisis. We have a lot more students commuting. And this commuting cannot be underestimated, really, for mental health, because when you're commuting, you're not getting a chance to build a community at university, all right, for the first reason. And when you're commuting as well, you're under more pressure academically because you're losing hours of your day where you could be studying, right, to this absolute waste of time. So when you think of the housing crisis and the cost of living crisis, you can't disentangle those from the stressors students are experiencing right now. And although we do a lot at a local level to mitigate that and to support students, those issues are still remaining.
Mm-hmm. And you make an important point, Harry, as well, that there are some students in university or college who shouldn't really be there, who'd be better off out learning on an apprenticeship.
Absolutely. I think what's probably unrecognised out there is, firstly, the number of students picked are on course. And a lot of kids come to me and they open up and they say, look, you know, I don't know how to tell my parents, you know, I really hate this course.
Yeah, but it's so hard.
And it's very hard for them to make that decision. And then the one that really obsesses me really is when I come across a young person who shouldn't be there at all. They absolutely should. They love working with their hands. And these kids should have been picked up much, much earlier, that they're not really academic. They love working with their hands and really diverted off into these modern apprenticeships, which very much will bring in college as part of the thing. But they're as happy as Larry when they get into those kind of courses. So many students, for example, are also struggling with not only the financial pressures and the accommodation pressures, but in my opinion, they're overprotected. They literally come from the shelter situation where everybody puts the arms
back
around them.
Back now to poor old mummy and daddy
but mummy and daddy are doing this with the absolute best of meaning. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But they don't understand that you can't just go from there to shunt it up into self-directed learning, for example, which cause a lot of academic stress.
Yeah, but it's not even It's not even the learning part of it.
But
it's
the socialising.
Well, can you use the washing machine? Can you cook your own dinner?
Exactly. Can you do all the basic things that we need to survive? In other words, these kids are lacking the normal skills of life.
Harry, is that's not their fault, right?
Well, it's because not
their fault. It's our fault.
Well, I think when you think about the structure we have, you do the leaving cert, and then there is an expectation for lots of people that you'll progress really promptly to third level education, whether that's right or wrong for you. And when you're busy focusing on your leaving cert and preparing for your exams, you probably are protected a bit, right? Mammy or daddy's getting the dinner ready for you. They're not saying now's the time for you to learn to cook a few meals for yourself. But then we have this gap in skills when someone's at third level. So the purpose of third level is to offer a well-rounded university education. And people do grow during that time, but a core purpose is not to, I suppose, you know, I wouldn't be going into the kitchen with the student and showing them how to get their dinner ready after class, right? There's a particular role for university and there's particular skills that ideally somebody would have a little bit of a handle on before they come to us. And that's not necessarily even parents' fault either. It's just quite a compressed timeline, that transition from second level to third level.
And it's all about adding stress to the whole experience, isn't it, Harry? Because if you're worried about settling in, the social side, the academic side, your accommodation, your travel, then having to learn how to
Look after yourself. Yeah. You know what I mean? And something that I kind of want to pick out here, because we never talk about it, is loneliness. That a lot of these kids are very lonely. Mm. And, we live in a world where they say they are connected through social media, with X, Y, and Z. But in reality, for all the different reasons that we discussed here, many of them come up from the country and are lost. They've lost all their social structure. They've lost all their friends. They don't have their family and friends around them. And they feel very, very lost. And they feel very, very lonely. And that loneliness, they then hit the issue of trying to have relationships, and it can be very difficult in this modern world to have relationships. And one of the things, the other thing I want to pick out apart from loneliness that really kind of bothers me a lot is that a lot of these kids are now using casual drugs to try to overcome the stress of all the situation that they're dealing with. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? So those casual drugs further worsen their mental health issues. And I, if there's one illness I'd like to pick out, because it's the one that I have noticed over the years, and it causes chaos, and it's missed and missed and missed and missed, and it's simple depression. That 25%, remember, 50% of all cases of depression will present for the first time between 15 and 25. And 25% of those will present between 18 and 25, the college years. So I regularly see a kid, do you know what I mean, who feels that they are the problem, that they are of no value to anybody, they're of no use to anybody, and that the course is wrong. Whereas in actual fact, what they're struggling with are the symptoms of classical depression, where they've cognitive difficulties, psychological difficulties, exhaustion, all the difficult things that you get with depression.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, one of the things that I try to get through to young people is that it may be necessary sometimes to take a period out of college to, you know, send a letter in to the college, explain what's happening, and pull out and try and recover from your bout of depression. And very, very many young people will feel their course is wrong whilst they're depressed, but once their depression is lifted, say, well, do you know what, the problem wasn't the course at all. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And yet here's a figure that should strike fear into us all. 4 out of 10 people with mental health problems will drop out of college. Now, that's a scary figure.
Mm-hmm.
We were all the time asking, why are people dropping out? It's not just because they're doing the wrong course. It's very often that the combination of all these factors is bringing about a situation where this person feels, I can't cope any longer.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, sometimes I have to help people later to say, come on, do you know, the problem was never college. The problem was a particular condition.
That you had.
And try and encourage them to go back. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, Anne-Marie, when it comes to supports in mm-hmm. third level, things have changed, haven't they? And they've improved quite significantly. Would you agree?
I feel they have improved massively since my own time in university. I wouldn't have barely been aware of what's out there. And there's a lot now. So, you know, as Harry mentioned, depression is an issue for people. The campus counselling services on every campus are there for students, and people can be sometimes reticent to make the first step and connect, but I'd really encourage people to do that. Our staff at the counselling service really have students' best interest at heart. They're excellent. And the second thing I'd say is we now have a training programme for all staff, right, where staff are trained to identify and respond to students in distress. So, for example, if I met a student who was in distress, I would be equipped to respond and to think about what's appropriate in my role and how I might divert them to a more appropriate setting if I needed to. So this is a training that's open for staff, who, including librarians, admin staff, support staff and so on, and we're seeing better uptake of it. So that's a fantastic initiative as well. And besides that, Harry mentioned occasionally students taking some time out. I always think it's so important that students know, you know, you might have transferred from leaving cert to third level and you're continuing on for 4 years straight, but people engage in higher education in so many different ways. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with taking time out if you need to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Just communicate that with the university and we'll look into that for you and facilitate that so that you can re-enter. And it's so much better to get a good solid degree across 5 years than to struggle so hard for 4. So I'd really emphasise that it's not a failure to do that. It's just simply doing what's best in that moment that will be helpful for you to meet your goal in the long term.
Robert has texted us. He has just finished his university exams yesterday. He says, yes, university isn't all roses, but I think this is a bit over the top. It's usually bliss. Don't infantilise us. We aren't toddlers let loose.
No, I'd agree with that. For most people, the majority certainly, it's a really positive experience. And I'm glad that's the case for Robert. And of course, if you've just finished exams, you're especially in that position. But I think because of that message that it is a really good experience for most people, those who are struggling find it a bit harder to know where to go for help, especially when they're removed from the usual supports, right? So they don't have their old network of friends keeping an eye on them. They meet new people who don't really know them yet. So they mm-hmm. won't notice a difference in the behaviour. So it is important that people making the transition know about supports available to engage with them at an early opportunity rather than quite later.
I bet, Harry, you'll agree with this. Students are lonely because they don't know how to talk to others. They live on their phones.
Yes.
As a teacher, we're only praying for a bit of crack or skullduggery this term. Not going to happen. Kids are stuck in the phone. They've no imagination left.
I couldn't agree more with this because I know we're talking all the time about at what stage they should get phones and stopping them and all the rest of it. But I don't care how we do this, but we have to take kids away from phones. If we don't, we're going to produce kids who arrive in college who don't have the social skills, do you know mm-hmm. what I mean? And who will feel lonely. And, you know, I couldn't agree more with the teachers there. I think it's absolutely correct.
Do you see that loneliness as well Anne-Marie, when they arrive in college? Because it is very daunting, especially if you're coming from a rural school and you don't have any sort of a gang or even one person who you know.
It is a challenge, right? So one in four students on campus would report loneliness. So that comes from the Student Life, the Students' Union survey. And what I also see is that, and our research has found this actually, is that sometimes students have an expectation that they'll have the best ever social life very quickly once they arrive. And when that expectation isn't met, because meaningful relationships do take time to build, when it's not met, you can be disappointed and lonely. So if you have a clearer expectation and are more realistic, that it'll take some time to find your group, right? That meaningful connections take a little bit of time to build. If you know that going in, you're more likely to have satisfying relationships and you won't be disappointed and feel that loneliness to start with. But it can take time, and we do have a lot more activities on campus that help people make connections outside of their course as well, that I think is helpful.
Okay, well, Drs. Anne-Marie Craven and Harry Barry, thank you both for being with us today.